We're doing Gemara Makos. We're up to Hey Amud Aleph. We're holding about 10 lines from where the Gemara begins. The first word of the line is Parcha. So we had a bunch of quotes from Rava, different scenarios where the witnesses testify, you were with us at the other end of the castle, you were with us at another city. Do we have to be concerned that they have unusual eyesight or that they have unusual means of transportation? And the answer was no, we don't have to be concerned. They would have to make such a claim. We go with the standard. We say if with standard transportation you can't get from one place to the other, the assumption is they're liars. If with standard eyesight you can't see from one place to the other, the assumption is they're liars. V'amar Rava, another quote of Rava. Ba'u shnayim v'amru. Two witnesses came and said, b'chad b'shabbat harak plonit ha'nefesh. So the first two witnesses say, on Sunday, the first day of the week, so-and-so murdered. U'ba'u shnayim v'amru. And then a second set of witnesses came and said, imanu eitem b'chad b'shabbatam. You were with us on that Sunday that you claim the murder transpired. Ela b'trei b'shabbat harak plonit ha'nefesh. But on Monday, then he really did commit that crime. He did murder. V'lod, not only in such a scenario, el afilu amru erev shabbat harak plonit ha'nefesh, even if the second set of witnesses would come in and say, on Sunday, you were with us, you didn't see that crime, but on Friday, we did witness that crime. So, technically, the first set of witnesses was testifying about a dead man, because technically, he deserved the death penalty from his crime on Friday. So we don't factor that in. Nonetheless, the first set of witnesses neragin get the death penalty. De beidana de kamaside, because at the time that they gave their testimony, gavra lav barktalahu. At that time, he did not yet deserve the death penalty because a court had not yet presided over his crime. The fact that he committed the crime doesn't mean he deserved the death penalty yet. The courts have to preside over the case and rule on the case. The Gemara says, "My kamash malan." What did I need Rava to teach me? What did he teach me in this statement? Tanina, I have a brisa that says, "Lefirach nimtzet achan men zomemet uvein neragin v'ashniya ptura." We have the case similar to the case in our Mishnah. If you have multiple testimony about a person that he committed a crime, and one of those sets of witnesses was found to be Edim Zomimin, so you could have a situation where he gets killed over the crime and they get killed over being Edim Zomimin. So I see that there can be situations where the guy will get the punishment and he really deserves the death penalty, and nonetheless they can become Edim Zomimin over their testimony. Yes?
I'm still confused about the difference between the second pair of witnesses, two different answers. First they said it was killed on Tuesday, then they said it was killed on Friday. There's two different cases, I realize. That
right.
The second pair of witnesses, there's two different cases that they could have said. Or Tuesday or Wednesday, what's the difference between the two?
Again?
So when the second pair of witnesses comes and they disprove the first pair of witnesses, there's two things they can say. There's two things that are brought here.
Right.
That he didn't kill on Sunday like you said, the first two pair of witnesses, but he actually killed on Tuesday.
Okay.
The first thing that the second pair of witnesses said. The other thing that the Gemara brought that the second pair of witnesses could have said is that he killed on Friday.
Right.
What's the difference between saying Friday or Tuesday?
Let's, again, the first set of witnesses say he killed on Sunday.
Right.
The second set of witnesses say he killed on Monday. They're both walking into court on Tuesday. So if the first set of witnesses walks into court on Tuesday, and they say he committed a crime on Sunday, but really he committed the crime on Monday, by the time they're testifying in court on Tuesday, he already committed the crime. So I could have said, technically he's a dead man. They were testifying against the person that was on death row anyways. And we will see that there are instances where we say that, where testimony against the man on death row has less weight because he was about to be killed anyways. In this case, even though technically by the time they gave their testimony, he had committed the crime, but being that that crime was not brought forth to the courts, so he was not on death row. So then Rava taught us another case. What about if he committed the crime on Friday. So they're testifying that he did it on Sunday, but really he should have been on death row, because he already committed the crime by the time they claim he committed the crime. Yeah, Rava says it makes no difference. So the Gemara says, wait, but what are you trying to teach me here? That even in a case where we'll put him on death row, nonetheless, I can kill the witnesses who illegally, unjustly tried to put him on death row, even though technically he's going there. That I know from another, from the Braisa we'll see in the next daf. So that can't be the Chiddush. So what were you trying to teach me? So the Gemara answers, Seifa. Masha'inkein. Big Maudi Nitzrichale. The Chiddush here is about the continuation of the quote, where if they were testifying, let's say the first set of witnesses came in and said on Sunday the courts ruled that he deserves the death penalty, when in fact on Friday the courts already ruled that he deserves the death penalty. So then I would say they testified against the man who was on death row. Meaning where the courts already ruled that he gets a death penalty on Friday, then I say, okay, then it's a different thing. Then I can't say they were coming to execute a regular citizen. They were trying to kill someone who was already on his way to be killed by the courts. So that's what would...
He was convicted on Friday.
Correct.
And then
they say he was convicted on Sunday.
He did it on Sunday, they say.
Not when did he do the crime, but when was he convicted? Meaning you have situations where witnesses can come before the courts and say, you know, this citizen was out on a trip to Florida and he committed a crime and the courts in Florida convicted him of murder. He's supposed to be on death row. He escaped and came back to town and no one knows it. Now, in fact, the courts convicted him on Friday. They testified it was Sunday. So then they're testifying against the man who was already convicted.
They testified that he was convicted on a different day?
Correct.
What would be their motivation to make such a claim?
To kill him.
He's already in death row.
Well, he escaped the courts. He came back to town. No one knows it. They're testifying it happened in a far out town. They're testifying it didn't happen here. They're saying the guy who lives as a law-abiding citizen here, when he was visiting Florida, he was convicted. He made a jailbreak, came back here, and no one connected the two. Remember, in those days it was very easy. No internet, no telephone. You could come back home, no one knows what crimes you committed elsewhere. Okay. Ba'u shnaim. Ve'amru, b'chad b'shabbat ha'nigmar dino shel ploni. So, two witnesses come in and say, on Sunday, the courts concluded that so-and-so will get the death penalty. And then the second set of witnesses come and say, you guys are liars. On Sunday, you were with us somewhere else. You couldn't have seen that court ruling. But on Friday, the courts ruled that he should be on death row. And not only in that scenario, even if they say on Monday the courts ruled, you claim on Sunday they ruled he's on death row. No, on Monday they ruled that way, but all the witnesses gave their testimony on Tuesday. So by the time the false witnesses walked into court, in fact, that court out in Florida did rule that he's on death row. Whether it was on Friday or on Monday is irrelevant, because by the time they gave their testimony, they were testifying about someone that really was convicted of the crime and was put on death row. So that's the continuation. That was the Chiddush of Rava. Ein elu neragin. Then they do not get the death penalty. De beidana de kamasede, because at the time that they gave their testimony, gavra bar ktalahu, we look at him as a dead man. Once the court ruled he should get the death penalty, it's the equivalent of their testifying over a corpse. Meaning the man was going to die. The courts really did rule to kill him. So if they came and testified about a corpse that he committed a crime, you wouldn't kill them over that. By the same token, a man who already it was ruled upon him that he should get the death penalty, so we view it as though they testified about a dead person. So then you wouldn't give him the death penalty over that. So that's case number one. Okay, so that's Rava. If they testified about the crime, I don't care what date they testify about. At the end of the day, the man is not on death row, and then they could get the death penalty because the courts didn't rule over it yet. If they testify about the conclusion of the court, so then if that conclusion preceded their testimony, he's considered a dead man based on that conclusion. If this court decision did not precede their testimony, then it's considered as though they tried to kill him. Okay?
Does it matter if they're aware of his conviction?
No, I don't think so. Now, there's an important machlokas Rashi Tosfos over here. Rashi learns. Did you follow the Gemara until here? Can we get a little complicated? Yes. Okay. It's an important Rashi, difficult Rashi. Rashi learns that when a person committed a crime over which he's supposed to get the death penalty, he could walk into court and admit to the crime and be absolved of the death penalty. So long as witnesses haven't brought the case before the courts, he can admit to the crime. And that's why Rashi learns that the first set of witnesses that walk in and say he committed murder on Sunday, they're in effect causing him to get the death penalty. Rashi learns it's not a question of did the courts rule or not rule, as much as a question of could he have absolved himself from the death penalty? Had he walked into court and admitted to the crime, he could have absolved himself. The second they walked in and testified, he can no longer absolve himself. So when the second set of witnesses come in and say, well, actually, he murdered on Monday or on Friday, it doesn't matter. The fact that the first set of witnesses came in already removed his capacity to absolve himself of the death penalty. That's Rashi's position. Comes Tosus and says, let's look at the Tosus top left, the Bidana Dasidu Edim Lav Bar Katlahu Piresha Kuntris Pehe Mishum Dihave Mode Mifta. Rashi says if the guy would have admitted, he would have been absolved from the death penalty. Velo nire. Tosus says that doesn't seem right. The Zelo Matzinu, we don't ever find this concept. We find with regards to taxes, with regards to fines, that if a person admits to the wrongdoing, then the knas, then the fine can be absolved. But the death penalty, we don't find that. Then any person that should get the death penalty would be able to admit and absolve himself from the penalty. So Tosa says, what I think it means is, lav bar katlahu. What does it mean? He wasn't a dead man. He wasn't on death row yet. Perush kodem shenigmar dinohu. Before the courts reached a conclusion he should get the death penalty, who says witnesses would have testified? The fact that he committed the crime doesn't put him on death row. And even if witnesses come, maybe in the cross-examination, their testimony will fall. So Tosa says, the way we explain the Gemara, that the difference is, did the courts rule he should get the death penalty? Then I say he was a dead man and they testified about someone who was on death row anyways. If the courts haven't yet ruled, so then you're the one that's initiating the death penalty. Tosus learns simply the way we explained. Because, so you'll say, wait, but he committed the crime. And I'll answer, says Tosus, yes, but who says witnesses will ever show up? And even if they show up, maybe under cross-examination, they're going to contradict themselves. So you never know if he'll get the death penalty just because he committed the crime. So long as the courts didn't rule, whichever testimony brings the case before them, that's the testimony that's trying to kill him. It's not the crime.
So if he admits before the witnesses,
Rashi holds if he can admit and absolve himself from death penalty. Tosa says no such thing.
No such thing as admitting.
Correct. Not in the case of a death penalty. So that's a big machlokas Rashi Tosos. That's a, yeah. A few little lines, but a huge difference.
So practically that would work, that Rashi's explaining is that they claim he did it on Sunday and then he's convicted on Tuesday. So then, even though he's already convicted, the witnesses were trying to take away that time that he would have been able to admit between Sunday and Tuesday?
No. The first set of witnesses walk in Tuesday morning and testify. Before they walked in, until the second set of witnesses walk in, he could have admitted. Right. Meaning from the time they testify, he can no longer admit to the crime. And technically, he could have admitted until the second set of witnesses walk in and say he committed the crime. So according to Rashi, they were the ones trying to kill him. The first set. Because the first set are the liars. The first set of witnesses walked in and said, we saw the crime on Sunday. They walk in on Tuesday morning. Now, the second set of witnesses come in Tuesday afternoon and they say, you guys are liars. You were with us Sunday. That he really did commit the crime on Friday or on Monday. It doesn't matter when. So that time period between the morning and the afternoon, he could have admitted to the crime and absolved himself from the death penalty. So then the first set of witnesses were the ones who were going to cause him to die. That's why the first set of witnesses should get the death penalty. That's Rashi's position. Tosva says, no, he couldn't have admitted anyways. Tosva says, the fact that he committed a crime that warrants getting the death penalty does not mean he would have actually gotten the death penalty.
Right.
You never know if witnesses would have come in or been cross-examined. So then the first set of witnesses that walked in Tuesday morning, they were trying to kill him. The fact that he had already committed a crime on Friday and there were witnesses to that crime does not mean he would have gotten the death penalty. So when we're arguing over, when the two sets of witnesses are arguing over when the courts ruled he would get the death penalty, so that means that witnesses came forward. Their testimony was accepted and the courts ruled he would get the death penalty. So then I say, even if new witnesses come in and lie about him, they weren't trying to kill someone. Technically he was a dead man. The courts already ruled he should get the death penalty. But when the witnesses come in and they're initiating the court ruling, then I say, who says he would have died? The fact that he committed a crime doesn't mean he would have died over it. If the courts already ruled he should get the death penalty, then from my perspective, they were testifying about a man who was on death row. He ran away from the courts. The courts didn't know where he was living. That doesn't bother me. The fact of the matter is, halachically, from my perspective, he was on death row. I don't factor in the fact that he was able to hide from the courts. Yes? So your yes is not convincing. Should we go over it again?
I'm understanding how Tosfot sees the Gemara different than the Rashi. That makes sense to me. But what is Tosfot saying?
Tosfot saying in the first case.
Yeah.
Okay, so the witnesses come in and say he committed the crime on Sunday.
Okay.
The second set of witnesses come in and say he committed the crime on Friday or on Monday. It doesn't matter. So why do I say the first pair of witnesses were trying to kill him? According to Rashi, he could no longer absolve himself from the penalty.
Right.
According to Tosfos, because who says he would have ever gotten the penalty? He committed the crime, but who says witnesses will come forward? If they come forward, who says their testimony will stand in court? So from my perspective, if the case was not yet presented to the courts, when the witnesses walked in Tuesday morning and say he committed murder, from my perspective, they were trying to kill him.
But if the case was already given to the court before the case.
So, yeah, that's number two. Right, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah? Yes?
So basically the question is, are the witnesses initiating the case, or is the case already in the court and the witnesses are trying, or just backing up and giving their testimony?
They're not even giving the second scenario,
right,
is that they walk in and say the courts already ruled he should get the death penalty.
Right.
So then,
okay,
if the courts in fact did rule, it doesn't matter if it was Sunday or Friday or Monday, by the time they're talking before the courts, he's on death row.
Right. If they're disproven, then they're not giving the death penalty because they're already on death row.
Correct. Yes?
Which Rashi did you quote?
The Rashi is here. My Taima. Rashi, My Taima. Over here. Are we ready to continue? Yes? Eli, yes. V'chein. You have it by the little test, about 9 lines from the bottom. 10 lines from the bottom. V'chein l'inyan tashlumei knas. Oh, now we start seeing where Rashi got his idea from, yeah? V'chein, and the same would hold true with regards to paying a fine. Okay, so what's a fine? Fine is when you're not covering the damage inflicted. So we understand, if someone stole, he has to pay that back. That's not a fine, right? But what happens if we say, if you stole, you have to pay back double? So then we say the principal is not a fine. The principal amount is the amount that's due. And that double, the next, the 200%, the second 100%, that's a fine, right? So if he stole 100 and he has to pay 200, so we say the first 100 is the principal, that's not a fine. The second 100 is a fine. We have situations in the Torah where a person has to pay 4 or 5 times the value of what he stole. If a person stole a sheep or an ox and then slaughtered it or sold it, so then the Torah says he will pay 4 times for the sheep, 5 times for the ox. So again, the principal amount is not a knas, it's not a fine, and the added amounts are a fine. Now, we have a rule in all of Shas, modeh b'knas patul. When it comes to a fine, if a person implicates himself, he will not have to pay the fine. Modeh b'knas, he who admits to a fine is patul. That's agreed. So, let's see. V'chein l'inyan tashlumei knas. The same would hold true with regard to paying a fine. Ba'u shnayim v'amru. If two witnesses walk in and say, b'chad b'shabbat ha'ganav v'tavachu machar. On Sunday, he stole a sheep or an ox and slaughtered it or sold it. Either way, they're trying to pay, make him pay 4 times the sheep or 5 times the ox. Uva'u shnayim v'amru. And then a second pair of witnesses come and say, "Bechad b'Shabbat imanu itim, on Sunday you were with us, you did not witness that crime. Ela b'trei b'Shabbat haganav v'tavachu machar, but on Monday he stole that very same sheep and slaughtered it or sold it. Meshalmim. So then the first pair of witnesses will have to pay the 4 times the sheep as they testified. Ve'lo od. Not only that, even if the second set of witnesses say, you're a liar, you guys were with us at that time, but on Friday, 2 days earlier, he really did steal and slaughter or sell that sheep, mishalmin. Nonetheless, the first set of witnesses will have to pay that which they tried to make him pay, 4 times the value of the sheep. Because at the time that they gave their testimony, Gavra lav bar tashluminu, he did not yet owe the money. The fact that he committed the crime is a problem, but the courts were not yet made aware of it. So even though technically, by the time they're testifying on Tuesday morning, he owes the money, but he hasn't yet been implicated in court.
So the witnesses, first set of witnesses pay because they implicated him in the crime.
Right. Now, here we need to discuss it a little bit, because what were they implicating him? The only difference is the tax, right? What do we make them pay? Meaning, he owed the man, once he stole that sheep, he owed the man the sheep, the value of the sheep. They were trying to make him pay 4 times the sheep. Well, 4 times the sheep, he could have gotten out of. That's a fine. He could have come into court and said, you know, I stole so-and-so's sheep and I slaughtered it. So, the principal amount, they don't have to pay. What they have to pay is the next 3 times the value of the sheep. Because that's what they were really trying to make him lose. The second he stole the sheep, this isn't like murder. This is, the second he stole the sheep, he owes that money. So the principal value he owes the second he stole the sheep. So then what were they trying to make him lose? The added 300%. He has to pay 400%, right? The added 300%, that's the tax that he could have really gotten out of by walking into court and admitting. Okay, so that's case number one. Yes.
Why do we make the witnesses pay if their testimony was accurate, just the day was off?
They lied. They're Edim Zomimin. The Torah says, witnesses that plot to make a person pay or get any other punishment, when they're found to be Zomim, they will have to pay. Now, logically, it actually makes sense. Because imagine, everyone's talking that Joe Schmo committed a crime. I've seen things like this. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet in your lives, but I've seen scenarios where everyone's talking, everyone knows he did it. And then you have two self-righteous people who say, we will come and testify. We saw it on Sunday. Why should he be walking around scot-free when everyone knows he committed it? Who else could have committed that crime? So then you've destroyed justice. If they didn't see it and they're testifying, you can very easily destroy a person that way. So I'm saying we can even understand it. It happens to be Xeris Akasav. That's the way the Torah said it should be. But the logic really works. I mean, we can understand the logic. Next case. Now, once the courts were made aware or ruled on the case, so then he can no longer walk into court and admit, hey, I did it, absolve me from the tax. So the next case is going to be where the court's already ruled that he owes the money. And in such a scenario, if the court's already ruled on it, then the witnesses that come in later on and lie about it, well, they're not really making him lose too much money because he already owed that money. He couldn't have gotten out of it. So that's going to be the next case. Ba'u shnayim ve'amru, echad b'shabbat ha'ganav v'tavach u'machar, v'nigmar dino. If the first set of witnesses say, on Sunday he stole and then slaughtered or sold that sheep, and the courts caught him and ruled that he owes the value of the sheep plus three more times the value of the sheep. He has to pay four times the value of the sheep. Ubao shnayim ve'amru, and then the second set of witnesses come in and say, b'chad b'shabbat ha'imanu ha'itim, on Sunday you were with us. You didn't see the crime, you didn't see the ruling of the court. That's all not true. Ela erev shabbat ganav v'tavach u'machar v'nigmar dino. But on Friday, it is true. He did steal, he did slaughter, he was taken to court, and he was obligated to pay that fine. V'lo'od ela afilo amru b'chad b'shabbat ha'ganav v'tavach u'machar. Even if they say the crime happened on Sunday and on Monday the courts ruled he owes the money, so then in such a scenario the first set of witnesses that walked in Tuesday morning were not trying to make him pay more than he really owed, because the courts had in truth obligated him to pay that money. So then in Mishalmin, then they do not have to pay that, neither the principal nor the fine, the Beidana de Kamasadeh Gav about Tashluminu, because at the time that they were giving their testimony, the man already owed the money, the courts had already ruled, and so he had no way out. Okay? So that's... Yes?
But in the second case, the court ruled on Tuesday, whereas the first witnesses came in on Monday.
No. The courts ruled on Monday, and the witnesses... In all these cases, the witnesses walk in on Tuesday. The witnesses are coming in on Tuesday. In all the cases, the courts start presiding on the case on Tuesday. So either in the last two cases, the courts already ruled on Friday or on Monday. But by the time the first set of witnesses, the liars, walk in, the courts have already ruled he's chayev, he owes the money. Right. On Sunday. B'chad b'shabbat is Sunday. Chad b'shabbata, one day into the week. Chad, one, b'shabbata, yeah.
Sunday,
yeah.
Okay, so they come in on Sunday?
No, they say on Sunday the crime happened. Amru, they said, b'chad b'shabbata ganav v'tavach u'machar. On Sunday, he stole and slaughtered, etc. They walk in on Tuesday. They're saying the crime happened on Sunday. Okay, so let's review. We're almost finished with the sugya. Okay, so what do we see today? We saw Rava taught us another two cases. One was the case of murder, where the first set of witnesses claim he murdered and deserves the death penalty. The second set of witnesses say, you guys didn't see it, you were with us at that time, but in fact he did murder either earlier or later. Either way, we say that the first set of witnesses will get the death penalty, because they were trying to kill him. The fact that he really did murder is irrelevant to us. Who says witnesses would have come in? Who says the courts would have accepted him? Bottom line, they're the ones that initiated the death penalty for this individual. We're going with Tosfos' explanation. According to Rashi, until they walked in, he could have admitted to the crime and been absolved from the death penalty. So that's why the first set of witnesses were obligating him the death penalty. So that was case number one of Rava. Case number two of Rava was when the witnesses walk in and say, the courts ruled that he deserves the death penalty. And the second set of witnesses say that you were with us at the time you claim you saw that. Either it happened 2 days earlier or a day later. But bottom line, on the day the first set of witnesses walk into court, even the second set of witnesses admit it was already ruled upon that he deserves the death penalty. In such a scenario, being that he deserved the death penalty before all proceedings began, the courts had already ruled he deserves the death penalty. So we say they weren't trying to kill him. He was already on death row. And so they will not get the death penalty over that crime. Next case, with regards to taxes, to a fine. If the first set of witnesses come in and say he committed the crime on Sunday, and the second set of witnesses say no, he committed the crime either on Friday or on Monday. So then we say, either way, before the first set of witnesses walked in, he could have absolved himself from the fine. Doesn't matter when he committed the crime. The fact that the courts had not yet presided over it had allowed him time to absolve himself of the fines. So that's why the first set of witnesses will have to pay out the fines, because that's what they were trying to obligate him. The second case is that the courts already caught him and ruled that he owes the principal plus the fines. So the first set of witnesses say this transpired on Sunday. The second set of witnesses say it transpired either on Monday or on Friday. But either way, by the time the first set of witnesses walked into court on Tuesday, everyone agrees the courts already obligated him that money. So then in such a scenario, they weren't trying to obligate him more money than he already owed. And as such, they're absolved from paying the principal or the fine, even though they lied. But nonetheless, they were not trying to obligate him more than the courts really obligated him. He had no way out. At this point, they weren't taking anything away from him because the courts had ruled on it, and he couldn't have absolved himself from the principal or the fine either way.
So they're only liable when